I called on the Lord all night long.
All night long, and I wouldn't let go.
And I wouldn't let go. Until it blessed my soul. I'm a witness.
Thank you, Jesus.
Any witnesses in the house? Anybody got a story you can tell about what the Lord deceitfully, manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, and yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. You may be seated.
Amen.
Amen. I ain't tired yet. It was 5 years ago when Pastor Thompson's 5th anniversary. I was here as I looked on some notes in the past. Number one, to make sure I don't preach the same message.
I don't know.
But if I did, God's word is still good. Nobody preached one sermon. It's going to rain.
Amen.
And Pastor Thompson, Lady Thompson, you remember I gave you some statistics on the highs and lows of pastoral ministry. Then in 2014, Pastor Thompson, I have some new statistics 5 years later. These statistics come from our last semester of work on Ministry 1, the curriculum written by Reverend Dr. Terry Preston. Dr. Preston gives statistics on pastor burnout by the numbers. Dr. Preston says 13% of active pastors are divorced.
Amen.
23% of active pastors have been fired or pressured to resign at least once in their careers. Lord, have mercy. 25% of active pastors do not know where to turn to when they have a family or personal conflict or issue, because we cannot turn to anybody and everybody. Because anybody, everybody, somebody who don't preach God's word can tell us how the devil works. Then Bishop, you can't talk to every other pastor.
Amen.
25% of pastors their wives see their husband's work schedule as a source of conflict. I wish Tracy would say that. I should say amen. 33% of active pastors felt burned out within their first 5 years of ministry. There are some pastors who have gone into the ministry, and I can't say whether God called them or God didn't call them, but after first 2 or 3 years, and they stop pastoring, they're not pastoring anymore, and some of them not even preaching. Say they have experienced depression or burnout to the extent that they needed to take a leave of absence or a long sabbatical, and some didn't go back. 56% of pastors' wives say they have no close friends. That's a high rate. 80% of pastors say they have insufficient time with their spouse. Wouldn't you agree? Wouldn't you agree? There are several more, Mike. I got the book. I'll let you look in the book. So today I just want to encourage you, and I want to speak on Mike's behalf, saying I ain't tired yet. I know that there are some dignitaries in here, some teachers, people of my class, and people who watch and listen to everything we say, and you ain't supposed to say ain't, but they say ain't. But I'm going to use the word ain't today.
That's right.
Is that all right? We're here today, and I'm honored to be here because Tracy could have gotten any number of preachers to come and stand here today, and I'm sure they probably could have done a much greater job, but y'all stuck with me. And I thank the Lord for making it happen. I asked Mike several times. I was messing with him. Mike, who preached the anniversary? So man, you don't know who preach you, man. You got somebody coming to your church and you don't know who coming. I wish I got a hold of Tracy a few days earlier so we wouldn't put on the program and something and nobody would told him last night that I was coming. I don't know. Ask him what it was, it day before yesterday, Friday? You still don't know who preached for you? Pastor Thompson is following in the footsteps of my uncle, and you know Lake William H. Carr. He's been groomed well. And I just know you all have been appalled right there. Right. It's too late now. For 10 years, Pastor Thompson has been handling God's word. The late Reverend Dr. S. M. Lockridge said these words, and I quote, he said, a sermon ought to do four things. Number one, it should stretch your mind. A sermon should inform you and it should instruct you. You ought to be able to learn something from a sermon.
Yes. Oh, yes.
From 10 years of service, Archer Grove, you ought to have learned something from this man of God.
Amen.
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 Number two, he said a sermon should tame your hide. A sermon should correct you. Mike, when I heard this, my mind went straight to Proverbs 22:15. It says, foolishness is found in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So often, Pastor, many people look at this verse and instantly they think it's telling you to whoop that child. But how many of you know that the word of God is the rod of correction? And we, if we are saved by God, we are God's children. And when the word of God is preached, it ought to tame our hide to let us know right from wrong. Anybody been whooped lately? Then he says, number three, the sermon should warm your heart. It should inspire you. For 10 years, your heart should have been warmed and inspired. You ought to be on fire right now. And number four, a sermon ought to provoke the will. It should challenge you to do what the Lord has called you to do. For 10 years, Pastor Thompson has been challenging you with the word of God to do God's will. And Pastor Michael Thompson told me to tell you without him telling me on his behalf to tell you from my heart that he said, I ain't tired yet. The Apostle Paul in this third letter, the 14th epistle, Paul is writing in defense of his apostleship. His credentials are under attack. The false teachers and the Judaizers had come on the scene that they had infiltrated the church at Corinth, the church that Paul had founded, and they were teaching false doctrines.
That's right.
How is it, Mike, that some of these jackleg preachers The Judaizers of the day, with their education, their fine suits, and their eloquence of speaking and pronouncing every word properly, they preach so good and they captivate the minds of their people. In other words, they're talking loud, but they're saying nothing. People are coming into church and they're leaving it, and they're shouting, but they ain't happy. Then somebody who's humble, like Pastor Michael Thompson and Lady Thompson, who's doing what's right by the word, and the church is treating like a dog. God have mercy. God ain't called him. Come Sunday evening, they'll have you for dinner, and you won't be at the table. I don't hear nobody. I'm gonna say that one more time. I said, come Sunday evening, they'll have you for dinner, but you won't be at the table eating with them. But you are the main cause. This is Paul's situation. Paul, in these 13 chapters, 257 verses, he comes to set the record straight. And as we look at the fourth chapter, for a word of encouragement, Pastor Thompson, I see you. I see you all in this book. He said in verse 1, y'all got your Bibles up. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Paul says, Mike, in spite of all we go through, in spite of hell's hounds on our trail, and in spite of some of the hard times and some of the hardships and some of the haters hanging around, I ain't tired yet. Mike and Tracy, in spite and despite of all that you two go through that nobody else knows about, the Lord has given you both mercy for the ministry to keep on pressing your way. Because folk will try to make ministry miserable for you, but thank God for God's mercy. Like a lot of people don't understand that we pastors are just as human as everyone else, and we are subject to human frailties too. We have problems just like everybody else. We get sick just like everybody else. We have bills just like everybody else. We like to take our wives to Ruth Chris every now and then, just like everybody.
Amen.
Amen. I threw that in, that one free. And watch this, we are under satanic attacks more.
Yes.
Than everybody else.
Yes.
Help me, Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because God has called us. He's given us. He's charged us with this ministry. How can we get tired?
Yeah.
How can we faint? How can we throw up our hands? Yeah. Oh, God. Since God is the one letting us in on what he's doing.
Yes.
I ain't tired yet.
All right.
Because some hardships has come. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. We're in this ministry of soul winning.
That's right.
And I'm sure Pastor Thompson, within the 10 years of service here at Archer's Grove, some things has come along and made you feel like Marvin, make you want to and throw up both hands. But when you see the mercy God has given you for the ministry, you throw up both hands and you holler. said, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves every man's conscience in the sight of God. There are many preachers who deceitfully and dishonestly, they mishandle the word of God. They're in it for all that they can gain, and ministry is all about them and what they can get and what I said. But what about what the word of God said? Paul is pointing his finger at the false teachers who turned the church of Corinth against him. Yeah. Church, there are some people who call themselves handling God's word, and they are so deceptive. And if you don't know the word for yourself, they can take this Bible right here. There are some preachers who can take this Bible right here and make it say what they want to say. And if you don't know what it says, you can say amen.
Thank you.
Watch this, there are a lot of upscale preachers who are following a worldly leader. Let's make America great again.
Come on.
And all of me white preachers is following him.
That's right.
That really helped me.
That's right.
Okay. False leadership, Roger Grove, UCC. I believe with all my heart that you have a true leader over you by the name of Michael Wayne Thompson. And Lady Tracy Thompson, stand by his side and say that you are to thank God for the 10 years that he has blessed you to be here in the service. He's endured some hardships, but he's still here. Somebody in here right now wants him out, but he's still here. And if I can tell you what he told me to tell you without him telling me to tell you, Mike said, I ain't tired. Ourselves your service for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. These false teachers had taught the church that Paul was preaching, he's promoting Paul. He's all about self. Are y'all with me?
Oh, yeah.
Paul trying to benefit himself. And Pastor, we see this all the time, but in a different way, especially with a lot of these young preachers. They see how some is prospering in ministry, but they never seen the problems that came before the prospering, and they come along with this great preaching style, and most of them can, these young boys, these young guys can preach.
Yeah.
I mean, they can preach heaven down to earth. Ain't got no Bible, ain't got no note. They take their phone, read their scripture, put it in their pocket, and they go to work. But what they don't understand is, there is a price to pay before you get up on that mountaintop. And if you're not careful in their good preaching, they will preach heaven down, but their lifestyle is different from what they preach, and they come right on in the church and start changing things right off the bat. Day two, they ain't been preaching but 2 weeks now, and they start changing stuff.
Yeah. Go ahead.
We need to change this, Brother Dickie. We need to change this. And the church. And some of the churches fall for it. Oh no, listen.
Amen.
Maybe you don't do away with all tradition. What you do is you enhance them.
Yeah.
But you don't do it the first week. You don't do it the first month. You don't even do it the first year unless you know for sure that it's God Almighty that has anointed you. It needs to be fixed. It needs to be fixed. It needs a little bit of peely polish on it. The only focus on the one side of ministry, and when they get the people where they want them, they'll change on them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right now, they'll change the church's policies and everything, that will fit their agenda.
Amen.
Paul recognizes, he realizes that it was Jesus who called him, and it was Jesus who kept him from quitting and deceiving. It was Jesus who kept him humble and away from the self-promoters. There's a lot of us as preachers who promote themselves and pimp the gospel, but not Michael. Not them. We preach not ourselves, but we preach Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
I ain't got it for nobody. And you want to know the truth? You want to know the truth about it? I might not die for you.
Amen.
Let me move on. No,
oh, yeah.
Michael is here as a servant. He's here to lead you. He's here to lead you to serve the Lord. He's not here to make a name for himself. He's out to spread the name of Jesus. The sweetest name I know, the Judaizers were dictators of the church. There are too many churches under the leadership of dictatorship, and that's not what God called us to do. He called us to do a humble service. On the other hand, he's not here for the church to dictate him, nor be dictated by me. Watch out, preacher.
Yeah.
Paul says, we preach not ourselves, we preach Jesus, and we do it for the sake of Jesus. Watch this, Mike. If you study the word preach, if you take away the P from preach, it gives you reach. If you take away the R, it gives you each. If you take away the E, it gives you A. We preach to reach each A that you bring to living in the dark, to lead them to Jesus, who is the light of the world. And for 10 years now, this is what your pastor has been promoting here. He tells me when he has a baptism and when a soul gets saved. And he also told me, I ain't tired yet. You know, the sign of a growing church, you know what the sign of a growing church is? Water. Y'all didn't get that, did you? Water in the pool. Because every time, because that you take somebody down in the water, that means arches grow. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Paul degrades himself. himself in some ways. He compares himself to a clay jar, something cheap, something breakable, something replaceable, something expandable. People of that day, they used clay jars for different purposes. They put important documents in them. They stored their values in them. They put their jewelry and money in them. They put garbage in them. And some people would even put waste in them. I'm talking about human waste.
Okay.
Yeah, they use them for their commode. Rev. Dr. Ralph B. West explains it this way, Pastor. He said, it's like putting treasure in a trash can. Because God's word is a treasure, and he places it in us whom could represent a trash can. Paul trashes himself. He says, I'm weak and I'm not worthy. But God, and the analogy here is, God uses the weak, frail things in life, such as might and barely expandable, cheap trash cans. And God makes it very clear that every soul saved here at Arches Grove and in St. Paul through the preached word of God, it is the result of his power and not our power. God takes his treasures, which is his word, he puts it into us as clay jars of vessel, and by him you are earthen vessels, and we have to depend on the power of God to pour out the treasure of his word that God has placed on the inside of us. The most important thing for the pastor's vessel of the Lord is that we be clean, empty, and available. The Judaizers were vessels too, but they were not clean. They were not empty, and they didn't make themselves available because they were too full of themselves.
Yes, yes.
They were full of their own waste. You can figure the rest of it out. But I just told you that they used those clay jars, those vessels to put human waste in. They were full of themselves, so you know what the rest is.
Yes.
Amen.
Y'all got it here.
And when we allow the Lord to use us for his glory, things will begin to happen. Because Paul says we are troubled on every side. If you remember when Paul was in Asia Minor, Paul's life was on the line for the sake of the gospel. Paul states in the first chapter of 2 Corinthians, verse 9, but we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. I ain't tired yet. Mike, in the course of your 10 years, I know you've seen trouble on every side, but you, Pastor, was trusting in the Lord and said, I ain't tired yet. Yet not distressed, we were perplexed, not in despair. Perplexed means no way out. Paul said, I've been in some situations where I couldn't see no way out, but I kept trusting in Jesus, and he made a way out of no way. And I ain't tired yet. He said, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Can I talk pastor to pastor? Because I ain't tired yet either. Y'all want to understand this? This is between Mike and me. Y'all just get to listen in on what we're going to say. In this walk of pastoral ministry, I've been doing it now for 19 years, and this can be a lonely walk. And many times, Mike, the only person we can truly lean on is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because just as Paul experienced perplexity, just as Paul experienced trouble, just as Paul experienced persecution and being cast down, people has done, will do, and will continue to do the same to you and I. But I ain't tired yet. Reverend Dr. John Henry Jewett said, ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. Can I get a witness? Pastor Thompson, this is what I see in you. And I quote these words from another handle of the gospel, the legend of old Nobel Prize winner, the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. Mike, this is you. Dr. King said, if I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word of song, if I can show somebody that they're traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. If I can do it as a Christian ought, if I can bring salvation to a world once wrought, if I can teach the message that the Master taught, in my living, in my living, in my living, will not be in vain. Because this ministry is all about Jesus. Jesus, who is my Savior. Jesus, my Master. Jesus, my teacher. If it was for Jesus, I wouldn't be who I am, know where I am. For 10 years now, Mike, the Lord has used you here at Archer Road United Church of Christ. This church has grown and is still growing. Let me tell you the signs that I just told you. Every time somebody gets baptized, now, Mike, I'm done with you. Because now I'm getting tired. Is considered to be a symbol of obedience and responsibility of people towards God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are y'all with me?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And God's law. And God's law is God's word. In other words, be obedient to the man and woman of God. I'm talking now, Archie Grove. I told y'all through him. Be obedient to the man and woman of God. Respect them. Because when you don't respect them, then you don't respect God.
Amen.
Amen.
Because when you mistreat him, you ain't mistreating him. It hurts him, but you ain't mistreating him. But you're mistreating the God that's in him. That word that was put in that vessel. And when you as TBAB, as the true born again believers, to live up to the word and treat your pastor and lady the way you want to be treated.
Amen.
I told you earlier, we like to take our wives to root press too.
Yeah. Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, for 10 years, Mike has been teaching you the word of God, and you know some of you has prospered from it. Well,
oh yeah.
If you prosper from what God has taught you, communicate. Communicate don't mean talk to. Communicate means bless. Bless that man who has taught you the word of God. That's if you've grown spiritually, bless him.
Yeah.
Bless him. Amen. Because the word communicate is coordinated. And I'll go a step further with it. Pastor, you're doing a great job. Pastor, great sermon. Every time y'all say, Pastor, you're doing a great sermon, Pastor, bless him. I said, every time you say good sermon, great sermon,
let's
communicate.
Yes.
It ain't got to be money. I ain't just talking about monetary gift. Bless him
Watch this. What happens is, if you don't bless him, you're cutting off your blessing. Yeah. You got to think because you got a good job and this, that, and the other.
Yes.
All good gifts don't come from God.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
I ain't dying yet. I'm just going to tell y'all what he told me to tell y'all. He didn't tell me to tell you, but I'm telling you that he ain't dying yet.